Okay. And we could talk about this during the podcast too, actually.
Yeah, interesting talk. Yeah. I guess, yeah. What, Nightmare Hunts or?
Well, I mean.
Or your wife playing again. That might be the angle to take.
Anything that we're doing, even if it's boring stuff.
Well, no, the experience of getting somebody who hasn't played in a couple of seasons caught back up is a discussion point for sure.
Sin.
Sin with the printer.
As a guest tonight.
Yeah, she said she was going to be done with the cricket, and she restarted it.
That's fine.
Right now when we start recording. What? You say it's only a minute?
Well, I'll just start unless she says it's done soon.
I think she said it's only going to be a minute.
Minute soon?
I don't know. I don't know if that's actually going to be a minute.
Oh,
but...
wait. If a minute means a minute or if it means 10.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm like, oh.
As long as it's an actual minute and not 10 minutes.
40%. She can take as long as she needs. Sin. You're like, I don't want to tell her that.
Kingsley said, hurry the F
up. I didn't.
53%, she said.
He didn't actually really second time I've heard Kingsley say tonight. I don't know what's going on.
He actually did say tonight. I can't believe it. It's like a first. Stop, we're good. Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 70 of the Guarding Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your host, as always, tonight we have Kingsley, Mac, and Sin. We are hoping to get Desraven back on soon. I wasn't able to make it tonight, but we have our rotating schedule where maybe Sin won't make it for a couple weeks next time.
I don't think that's happened yet.
Well, you're just too on schedule, huh?
Something like that.
But we do have a guest tonight to join us.
Hello.
Hello.
Nalsy, aka Mountain Mama, aka yes. Nalsy the Whisperer.
We still running with that? All right.
Aka whatever is the name of the hour.
Yeah, I keep going back and checking, and it's different every time, so I've just kind of started rolling with it.
A.K.A. Donkey Dong.
Well, it is Nalsy the Whisperer right now, because right before we were recording, we ran into a heroic whisper. Well, we did the prophecy eyes first, or not the prophecy ones, the whisper eyes. And then we did a heroic whisper mission.
That was fun for like 5 minutes, and then it was not fun for like 15.
The jumping only takes the 5 minutes, obviously. Yeah, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
I mean, I now know what it's like to be put directly into a meat grinder. That was interesting.
And we were talking, the best thing about that is you actually got to experience it hard, like not like broken, stupid easy like it was.
Although that was fun for different reasons. You could just get it done.
Yeah. I think that's actually how I got Whisper originally.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
It might have been you, but I do remember running someone with, it was their first time and when it was stupid easy.
That's probably me. I'll take the blame. I'm not sure, but I believe it.
It's going away. They should just make it stupid easy again for the last couple months, right? If it's going away, who cares?
That would make the most sense.
I mean, sniper rifles aren't in the best spot right now anyway, so it wouldn't hurt the game if everyone had it. Mm-hmm. But then everyone will have it if they ever bring it back, and maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows. Well, we were working on that. What else have we been doing this week, Sin? Have you played much this week? I don't believe so, until recently, right?
I played none until last night, and it was up till 2 o'clock in the morning. After my 6-day stupid long work week, I streamed last night and got to play. We did two and a half raids. I think you all completed the third, correct, after I got off Last Wish?
Yeah, we did.
But we did a Spire of the Stars run, and we also did a Garden of Salvation checkpoint, which was fun, and got those two knocked down. And we started Last Wish, and that's where you all picked up and finished.
But yeah,
got a long night.
Got a lot done.
What do you have left on your? Do you have all your five yet for your moments for your raid emblem, or what do you have?
Oh
left?
Yeah, for me, Spire was my last one that I needed.
Okay,
so I got the Triumph for to be able to get the raid ring, and of course, I got the sleek looking emblem.
Oh yeah, I see it again right now. Silly me.
Yes. And yeah, I've been working on actually a couple other things. I got the Ruinous Catalyst done. I've been working on the eyes. And then almost got the Graviton Lance Catalyst done. So that'll be knocked out tonight.
Hey, I want both of your opinions on, now that you have a Spire completion and I have three myself, what do you think of the raid, especially with completing it last night? It was a lot easier. How do you like the raid? What do you think? Easy, hard, just general thoughts. Go ahead, Nolsey, first.
I had the benefit of going into it with a 95% clear from the PS4 side of things a couple weeks ago. So I knew the mechanics. I think, like, for just learning the order and kind of memorizing everything is all the hard work. The actual encounter is really not that bad. I think it's a little overhyped for its complexity, but that's my personal angle on it. I think Crown is harder than Spire. I will say that.
Oh yeah, I agree too.
It's very much Crown-like, though, learning your mechanics, because that last boss phase, everybody does have a job to do, basically.
Yeah, but we screwed up a few times and still pulled it together. Like, there's a pretty large margin for error.
It's actually quite short too. Like, and funny enough, phase one takes longer and is almost harder because there's more things that can go wrong. Phase two, once you destroy, you know, a couple sets of ships, it's like, oh, now you just pass the balls a couple times and you can one or two phase it super easily. And then you're done, you know?
Yeah, no, it wasn't so bad, though. I was happy to get out of the way. I still got to get my crown completion for the Triumph. I'll jump into a crown at some point. But no, it was a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, you know, for me, that raid has bumped up just because maybe I've just been running it too much lately or just for other reasons, but that raid was my least favorite, but now at this juncture, it is Scourge, and Spire is bumped up to at least second least favorite, maybe even higher.
See, I can't dislike Scourge. I think the mechanics of it are super unique. I really appreciate, like, the bomb disarming mm-hmm. words. But the aspect of, like, oh, one person can see information that other people can't, much more than like what's the boss on Garden of Salvation? I'm missing proper nouns. Not Sanctified Mind, I gotta look through the little portally bits. That dungeon master aspect to it, where, again, one person is relaying hidden information. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it was executed super well. And the only reason why I don't like it is because I still don't have Anarchy. So,
yeah, I know, I get it. And a lot of people like Scourge. I don't know why I don't like it as much, but whatever. It's there.
Well, Scourge has the race, and the race is super fun.
Yeah, it's not bad. Once you get used to it, it actually is kind of fun when you can actually do it, and you're like, come on, everyone, get to the end. You just got to know when to slow down and stop your boost speed, you know, and don't let Sin clip you and take you off into the distance.
Or try to do the switches.
Oh yeah. So switches, people saying they know they want to do the switches and they can do it is equivalent to let's run the underbelly and someone who claims they know it and then we're there for like 2 hours and they don't know it.
The amount of Leviathan keys I've lost because I was just not going to bother with the underbelly is now in the double digits, like substantially.
As the underbelly keys were popular year one, and then as people played it and had exotics, they weren't really that popular. Because I think you, I don't know if you still can, but you used to be able to get a guaranteed exotic out of what? One of the three keys? Wasn't that the case?
Like it. I don't know if it was guaranteed, but they were such a high drop, it was basically guaranteed.
Which made a lot of sense in year one. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I mean, I mostly play Hunter, and I have all of the Hunter exotics, most of them with decent rolls, and all of the weapons. So it's like, is it worth the extra time? Probably not.
I know some people are listening are probably yelling in their mic or their headset right now, like, yes, it's worth the extra time, and I know the route. Well, yeah, we know. We have a lot of good people in our group that are hardcore raiders, but still, if you take the overall population running underbelly and getting the extra, switches in the Sparrow Race are kind of some of those things that are like, slightly annoying or slightly extra. Is it worth doing?
I do have a question because you all finished the last Wish raid, right?
Yes.
And we all know Verstin loves to not cheese it, one phase it. Did you all do the legit method?
No, he wasn't with us anyways.
Oh, that's right. I thought he was with us.
No, he left after Scourge, yeah.
Oh, damn. So you one phase, did the cheesy one phase.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you have to one phase. But it did actually take us...
a couple tries.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. No, nothing big. It was just... everyone just kind of has to learn the new cheese strat of the month. You know what I mean? Right now it's swords with tractor. Or you don't have to have tractor cannon, but just everyone needs to just be on par.
Well, right. They fixed the cheese, but then they buffed swords so hard that the cheese was valid again.
Yeah. So I think we got Ben. It was his first clear, brother Ben, and Seb.
We had Andy for part of it.
Oh, Andy, yep. I'm trying to remember if Seb... He said he passed the end, but he hadn't done I forget what it was. There was some detail where he hadn't passed all of it. But yeah, we did good on that one.
Nice. I haven't tried any of the... it's been a while since I've been in it. Two Riven at least. So I would love to get back in there. I guess I have a checkpoint. I can go back in and try to get a group and we can try to do that. Because I would love to try it with the swords. Because I've not done that yet.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. And it was nice to hop in it, too, because everyone's running these five raids that are going away. So I was actually excited to do a Garden and a Last Wish because I was getting a little bored of those other five raids that everyone was needing to run.
I was going to say, it had been a while since we had done a Garden.
For sure. Yeah. And then I don't know if I ever talked about it, but I got Teraba a couple weeks back. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but that was nice. I got my last exotic of anything that I needed.
The one that still eludes me.
You'll get it eventually.
And maybe, not. It's a real possibility that he won't.
Well, I hope that's not the case. Because I did run it with you, Kingsley, a couple times that one night. We ran it three times. Or I think three or four times. Because you can farm those chests over and over. So we ran it and I didn't get it. But I think somebody else did that night. One day, I will get it.
Well, I still need a crown for the achievement, or for the triumph, so anytime this week where I'm not backing to move, I am down to do it.
Yeah, we'll get one going. We'll get one going for sure.
Tonight it is.
Yeah. Well, a couple other things I wanted to talk about tonight. Bungie has supposedly, and I heard it actually is a lot better, fixed the beaver errors of people getting disconnected.
And I haven't had one in weeks.
There you go. And on the technical side, it was actually kind of an interesting thing reading into it more. It wasn't entirely Bungie's fault so much. It was Valve's fault because they use their networking through them. And they had some hardware that was incorrectly configured or kind of, quote, bad in a data center where there was two pieces of hardware in the same data center. And all their other data centers only had one piece of hardware. And so the routing just wasn't working correctly of two pieces in the same data center. And it was in Virginia, and it was mostly just affecting East Coast people. I never got any beaver errors. I don't know what everyone's complaining about, but then everyone else is like, oh, I get a lot. And so I guess it was mostly affecting East Coast people. But now it is better. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I never really saw them.
Oh, man. There was times where I would literally like get kicked out three or four times in 10 minutes. I had to walk away from the game a couple of times. So for me, quality of life has gone through the roof.
No, that's good. So that's cool. And then also this week, we got another trailer. It kind of came with the Xbox announcements, but then Bungie dropped a trailer in that show that was way cool. I was hyped when I saw it. It showed more of the Stasis subclass and all the Frozen abilities we'll have, most notably with the grenades and with the supers too. Did you guys both check out that trailer?
Yes.
The griefing potential is so beautiful. I cannot wait to do like the Last Wish platforming bridge, or we just did Whisper earlier, things like that where I can just throw a grenade and ruin someone's day for fun.
Okay, that so is interesting. I think that's going to change. I think that's going to change the way this game performs, like all the way to the original content. If that works on everything, those ice grenades for making a platform like that, that's going to be.
Oh, it will. Do you think it'll work on everything, or it'll just work on certain things? A lot of games have it where you can only do it on certain things, if you know what I mean.
Where they limit it to like only certain types of like objects in the world. Yeah, but I don't know. I guess Destiny could, they could program it to do it like that, but I think that would take away its luster. I think it would take away a lot of.
True. Maybe it's good enough that just someone has to have a grenade, of course. So it's like, if you're in a group, likely someone has it, but otherwise you're like, I'm not going to jump yet. I'm waiting for my grenade. So a lot of people waiting for grenades to.
Yeah, I think we got to play with it to really see how that one's going to go. Like, I all of that trailer was super exciting, especially as a hunter, where our mobility is kind of the main facet of our class. Now that we have increased mobility while now demobilizing other players in PvP is very appealing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too, Luke Smith, and I'm a little worried about this being annoying. He said that the enemies, the ads, will also be able to use frozen abilities on us. And I hope it's not something where we're constantly getting frozen. That would be super annoying.
It seems a lot like suppression.
Like slow?
Yeah. Yeah, like a heavy slow, and you can't use your abilities.
But
like
frozen, you're like not moving, though. I don't know. It's.
It might just be a slow, like a hyper slow. Like we haven't really seen anything in the trailers that would say, you know, if you're not just very slowly moving. Because I don't know how they're going to do a full freeze. I feel like that's going to be, because then you're just going to freeze someone and shoot them in the head and walk away. There's got to be something to it.
Well, there's definitely a lot more to come. It was cool seeing that trailer, and
yeah, it was good timing for it.
We have till November. Hopefully, they'll come out with a lot more information before.
Oh, there's a part of that that they didn't really talk too much about openly, but the Xbox Game Pass announcement that they made for Destiny is going to be huge for the amount of players playing.
Yeah, do you remember the details on that?
So all of the DLCs and stuff, all of the new content. I don't know if the seasons will be, but the DLCs are all going to be part of the Xbox Live Game Pass. So Beyond Light, for instance, is going to be included with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be awesome, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be like, hey, I'm already paying for this. I might as well check this game out because it's free. Why not? Which could be
okay,
really cool.
I see the seasons are not, but yeah, you're right. All DLC, so all the main game will be available except for the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're paying for Xbox Games Pass, it's like you have an excellent deal, and then you only have to drop $10 per season if you want the additional content.
So I think that's going to be huge for the Xbox community specifically, too, because the Xbox seems to be, I mean, Stadia, I guess, but that I pile that in with Xbox, seems to be the smallest contingency of players.
Well, that's smart. I have that for sure.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's nice to see Bungie back home.
Back home.
Welcome home. He didn't die, he just went home.
Yep.
We're talking about Elvis now.
All right, so that was the main news things. I'm just looking through the TWAB. Of course, they also mentioned, and we pretty much know this will be coming to PS5 also, but the new Xbox will be giving 4K resolution at 60 frames per second. Maybe this was the first time they officially said it. I don't know. But that is, of course, welcome news to the console players. It'll be amazing to see the 60. Now, 144. No, 144 is even hard with 4K even on PC. But
might get me on PS4 a little bit more. PS5, I suppose, PS5, a little bit more. On console, a little bit more.
Yeah. No, that's really good news. It makes sense that when I was looking at kind of the specs of both of those consoles, they have definitely a good enough custom card in there that can do that.
I don't see why they can't do adjustable field of view. I don't see how that would be an issue on console.
Well, do we know they're for sure not yet? Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if they announced that.
I hope.
And I mean, I don't see any positive to not doing it, and the community will be a
huge problem if they don't. Because yes, 4K60 will be amazing looking, but you still don't have that 105. It's like you still got to turn your reticle a lot, and
And you're already more sluggish being on a controller anyway. Mm-hmm. So that'd be nice. I don't see any reason why they couldn't.
Yeah,
they should be able to, and they've moved a lot of similar settings over to consoles since cross-save, really.
That's actually why they're getting rid of Leviathan, is to put the field of view adjuster on the consoles. Turns out it was just enough space.
Just enough space. All right, I think that's the main stuff for news. Let me just pull up something here. Beaver errors, yep, and then the trailer. Now, one of the things for the main topic I wanted to bring up tonight is, and our friends over at Guardian Down and Two Titans and a Hunter have already kind of mentioned this before I have on this podcast, but for reasons I wasn't on the one 2 weeks ago, and then last week we had Liv as a guest, but I wanted to talk briefly about our lovely raid bot, the 100.io bot that we have in our Discord now. Now, I know a lot of you may already know this, but I just wanted to give a couple suggestions. This will just be a quick discussion topic, and why you should use it and how to best use it, because it's a pretty cool thing. So basically, we are using a service called 100.io. They've been around for a long time as a LFG type website to just kind of like find people to play with. It's a very regimented, you pick a time, there's like a schedule, people can join or leave, people can be reserves. It's different than a lot of other LFG sites like the Bungie one, where it's just like, raid now, we need you. Or of course, in the Discords, which, and we're still doing this also, it's welcome, but like people in the LFG channel saying raid now. But with the 100.io, you can pick a very scheduled time, say what you're doing, and people can join up. And it doesn't have to be just raids, by the way, but this is the main reason why we're doing it. And it has a bot that goes into the Discord. So if you schedule something, it'll post, okay, there's a new game we want to do. Let's say, for example, Leviathan. And two of us have already agreed to it, but we need four more. So it'll say two out of six. And then someone can click on join game and then be one more person to join up. Usually the bots in the past through this 100.io service have only been able to post in one Discord. But I was able to talk to their developers and say, hey, we have this idea where we want to create like a raid supergroup between a couple different Destiny podcasts. So I talked to Gator and them over at Guardian Down, of course, Two Titans and a Hunter, and said, hey, do you guys want to be involved with a big group of all of us? Because a lot of us just kind of play together anyways to raid instead of having to post in one Discord, post in another Discord, right? It'd be nice if the bot could just automatically post in all the Discords automatically. Well, these guys are so awesome. Their developer went ahead and programmed the bot to do that. And much thanks to them, because I know, I don't know what they're paying the developer or what kind of arrangement they have, but that's, you know, it's no free, easy thing to do, I'm sure. Maybe he's top tier. He can get it done real quick. But I'm just saying, I think it was totally awesome that these guys were open to the idea. In fact, they thought it was pretty cool. And when they created it, they have a posting on their own website now saying, hey, if anyone else wants to do this, here's how you do it. So now when someone posts a raid group up in any of our Discords, it'll show in the other Discords too. So we are like the Voltron with all of our Discords joining together. Hey, we need what? How many parts of Voltron are there? Okay, the two arms, the two legs. Is the body and the head, or is it the body not count? I forget.
That is actually pretty awesome, not going to lie.
Yeah.
I believe it's...
Nosey, do you know how many parts there are to Voltron?
No, I Voltron, no, I'm guessing five. Five seems right. I don't know if that's factual, but I'm going to say five.
We need two more Discords then.
Or we could do the whole pirate thing in nine pieces of eight. I think
do
that's
you know any other clans? Because I don't.
Oh, I know other groups. In fact, some might be interested. But I mean, I think it's just awesome having even our three grouped up so far where we can do this. And it's like I said, it's worked really well. We've already had many games where people have scheduled stuff and people have joined. And if someone had to leave, we can all see that so someone else can join up last minute. And, you know, not everyone's going to be perfect. But if you want to set a specific time that you know works best for you, this is a really good idea because you don't have to have so much of that back and forth in the Discord of like, okay, what time can you make it? Maybe, but I can only make this time. I mean, you just pick a time and then, you know, people can
whoever wants to join, joins.
Yeah.
As one of our members that has a little bit more experience with traditional MMORPGs, it's actually, for me, brings me back to the calendar app, or it's not really an app, but the widget in World of Warcraft. So you'd have your guild calendar where you can have all of your raids scheduled or events or, you know, sign-up sheets and things like that. It really kind of makes communication very transparent. And we've been raiding like crazy the last couple of weeks for it. So I didn't realize that you, Kingsley, were so directly involved. I hadn't heard any of that in the Discord. So that's that's actually really cool that I'm like, oh, we're kind of on the cutting edge of this, and that's really awesome. And I honestly, anyone who's part of a community that would like to be a part of it, I highly suggest you take those steps because it's been a huge boon for, I know, for us and Guardian Down. I haven't seen as many of like the Two Titans community or Frozen Clan yet, but I know they're working on scheduling events, and seeing them would be really cool because I have yet to play with any of those guys.
Yeah.
And what he means is no one responds in real life.
Respawn.
Oh, no. Me and Respawn in the same raid would be, I think, would possibly be podcast worthy, but for all of the wrong reasons.
Or the right reasons.
Hey, we're guaranteed entertainment value. I can say that much.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. And I just wanted to give a couple tips just for people to get the best out of this experience, because there's a few things you can miss at first. I recommend people join the group. There's a link in our Frequently Asked Questions channel. And the reason why you want to join the group is because that also presents a website that you can just go into, and you need to register your name and password. And very important, pick your time zone too when you first register, because I believe the default time zone was Pacific. So a lot of the East Coast people were getting tripped up on that. So you definitely want to set your time zone, but just register like a normal website, join our group, and then you can see any raids that are coming up on their website for our group, which is called the Guardian Hub / Guardian Down / Two Titans and Hunter. Now you can also, of course, see what games are coming up by, in the Discord, you type !games, and that will also post all the upcoming raids or games coming up. When you create a posting, and this is fairly obvious, but in case you miss it, I want to bring it up. Be sure you pick the tag for PC or PS4 or Xbox. If you can only play on like PS4, be sure you pick the right one, or else people might join that are a different platform. And, you know, some of ours have been a little vague and we're like, okay, we're good on either one. But if you aren't good on either one, be sure to pick the right tag. And then one of the last things is when you're creating it also, be sure to, I think it's on by default. I need to find this one out still, but it seems like a lot of times when I've created them, it's checked for public. You definitely want to uncheck that if you only want it to stay within our group of Discords. Public means that it'll show on their website also. So anyone who's browsing, just randos can join. And that's been fine and good for some circumstances. And maybe you want that, but there may be other times where you just kind of want to like keep it in our group and keep it open for people to join. So then uncheck public, and then you'll be good to go with that. I think that's it. Those were just the tips that I had.
Yeah, I've used it a couple times. And it actually does work pretty well.
So it was easy enough for Sen? You can put your stamp
on it? Easy enough for me, yeah.
So easy a Titan can do it.
Yes.
It's crown approved.
Crown or crayon?
Crayon. Kid tested, crayon approved.
Yes. All right. What else do we want to talk about? We just kind of wanted to talk about those main things tonight and what we've been doing in the game.
Oh, man. I don't know. For me, it's been a lot lighter week just for the simple fact of lack of playtime. but I feel like I've gotten a lot done. And, you know, I still, you know, I was talking earlier, you know, there's still a lot more to be done, but I do feel like I'm getting somewhere with my progress.
What do you feels like the, what are you trying? I know you always try to do like 10 things at once, but what are your main goals right now, Sin?
Well, Catalyst, I'm trying to get Catalyst done. I just finished, like I said, Ruinous. I got my Graviton. That's like 96%. That's almost done. I still got to do the bow Catalyst that I want to get done. The one that Nalzi always plays with.
Trinity Ghoul, my boy. Yep.
So I still got those on the docket. I want to finish the eyes. All the stuff for the seal for the Moments of Triumph, which is a lot of strike stuff that I got to do. I seemed like I was running into some issues where the gambit thing was glitching a little bit because the precision kills didn't seem like they were registering, and I've been stuck at the same spot seems like forever. And maybe I'm just bloody awful and I haven't been hitting my precision shots, but I feel like I have, especially when I've been using a sniper rifle to hit them. So I want to get all that done. I definitely want to get the seals. That's kind of my main goal. Speaking of which, I got the last season's seals in. I ordered both the seal itself and the Saint 14 pen.
Keep thinking of the animal, the seals. Sorry, well, go ahead.
I keep thinking of, yeah, I was going to say Batman Singer. Forever. Was it Batman Forever?
Yeah, okay, with Jim Carrey.
Yes. The worst Batman. Second worst Batman. Second worst Batman. See, I don't know. I appreciate Arnold.
Yeah. My goals in the game is just rating more still, of course. I'm only still at 89 on my season pass. I want to get that to 100. And then...
Well, you need that for the seal anyway.
Yeah, but I probably will within another week or so, even just not hitting it hard. And then whenever the summer solstice silly event comes out, which I'm sure I'm not going to absolutely love, but I'll run that and just so I can get the main seal for arrival. But yeah, I we'll just see what comes this season. I'm chill. I not upset that they extended the DLC to November 20th. Of course, I'm a little sad. I always want it sooner, but I'd rather be less buggy also. So it's all good. I've been playing some Borderlands 3, considering getting Ghost of Tsushima and whatever else comes along the way.
Actually, to that point, I'm actually kind of feeling the opposite way. I'm really happy they extended everything out because now we can do the Halloween seasonal without having to worry about, you know, balancing the Halloween seasonal with all the new content like we did with Shadowkeep. It gives us time to really focus in and maybe get that cosmetic armor set or whatever. It takes a lot of grinding. We now have time to do that and then dedicate, you know, all of our time to Beyond Light when that comes out. So I actually think it's a huge win that they push everything back. And also, obviously, I'd rather have it be right than rushed out. I mean, we've all been there before where games come out too early and everyone gets real upset, and it's hard to recover from that sometimes. So,
oh, yeah. And let's not pretend for the haters. There's still going to be some bugs when it comes out. There always is, but I'm sure they're being smart about it and saying, hey, if we do not push it back, it's going to be extremely buggy versus hopefully just a little bit buggy. We will see when that comes out. But I'm excited for more trailers or whatever they want to give us. In the meantime, you know, TWAB articles of little tidbits of what's coming out. Oh, and one thing we want to mention, I don't know if this episode will be out. If not, then hopefully you watched it. We'll post it in the Discord too, but there is a Prophecy Dungeon ride along with developer commentary Tuesday at 10 Pacific, I believe, kind of like that normal time that they do those things.
Yeah, terrible time for me, right in the middle of the workday. Yeah. Definitely missing that one.
Yeah.
That's everything that they put out is right in the middle of my work days.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it. You can get it afterwards. But yes, it is Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, a deep dive Prophecy Dungeon. I mean, I kind of get it because they probably don't want to do it at night when they're off of work. But, you know, at least you can get it on demand afterwards.
That's when most people are playing. I feel, well, at least I guess us East Coasters.
Yeah, the but best they, people. This is a work event for them. So they got to do it during the day.
You know? Right. I get it. Yeah. I just don't like it, but I get it.
I mean, they can do it whenever, considering they're all working from home right now. Let's be honest. That's not necessarily an excuse.
Yeah, they can work from anywhere. So let's just do it at 10 o'clock at night instead.
I'm down. Or even just can it and just give us some cool information. Or is it supposed to be behind the scenes? Like, are they talking about like the whole development process behind it? Yeah. That would be really cool.
It's really cool. It says, come and watch us play our own game and tell you stories from its creation on the development floor. Learn about our inspirations and motivations as we share snapshots from when it was just a work in progress. Join in the chat for conversation.
Nice. I wonder if they're going to address the oversight that led to it being removed at the end of the season. I'm curious to see what the guts on that one are, if they're going to divulge, you know, what was missing for that to work the way they wanted it to. Because I'm curious as to why it's breaking, because it's not anything new in Prophecy that really wasn't in the game in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see what part of Prophecy is what's breaking, or what part of it is breaking with the new game, with the back-end changes they made.
To me, I didn't understand it that way. I just understood it like, I mean, that could be it. I just was assuming, I don't know why, that they just didn't, the way they have the builds going, they just didn't have time or room to put it in there to test it at all. Not that it would have been broken for sure. And now they just got to test it for the next build that comes out the next season. I don't know.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how much work that would take if it wasn't already a problem. The way I understood it is that something got changed, like, engine-wise in Beyond Light. Because Beyond Light, let's be honest, is basically Destiny 3.
You got to be careful about saying engine. When Gator listens to this, he is going to get so excited that you are on the same tinfoil theory that he's on, they're going to build Destiny under a new engine.
But here's the thing. I don't agree. I think it's somewhere in between. You could say, engine is such a vague term. I don't think it's going to be Gator's definition of a whole new engine, but I kind of agree with what Nolzi is saying that, well, if we're just talking about a new subclass and everything, that's kind of like changing the quote engine of playstyles now.
Well, no, so it's not. So, okay. So let me expound on what I was saying. Expound. English. Anyways, I base a lot of my past from the games that I've played, which I understand are games that you guys have not really played. And World of Warcraft has always updated the game engine with the expansions as they came out. So requirements have always gone up. A lot of mechanics and the way that things interact have gone differently. Valve is known for doing that as well with the Source engine. For instance, when they kind of secretly released the Source Engine 2 with specific games that they didn't say, oh, this is our new Source Engine. But, you know, TF2 got updated to Source Engine 2 and they changed the back end on everything while keeping the game ultimately the same. I feel like Bungie is going to do that now that they're really approaching the games as a service model versus, you know, the development gold release cycle. I think that they're going to try and keep it as current and as, you know, Destiny 2 for a game that came out 3 years ago is still gorgeous. And I think they're going to try and keep everything as approachable and as just enjoyable to look at and to play through as they keep this. You know, we have at least another 3 years and, you know, processing is going through the roof. I don't know if you guys pay attention to the posts I make in the tech channel. But we are very close to full-fledged quantum computing. They're able to compete with photons instead of electricity now, which they're saying is going to increase the rate at which computers and AI can learn by 2 to 3 magnitudes or orders of magnitude, which is huge. So, you know, gaming is always going to be on that cutting edge of technology. So to be viable for another 3 years, they're going to have to maybe look at things like ray tracing as a new technology they're going to want to incorporate in the engine to really make it that much better looking with the RTX environment. These are small changes to the engine, not complete redesigns, which I think is probably what Gator's more leaning towards. But these are like, hey, we're changing the way this script works to again, something like RTX, you know, with ray tracing, the way lighting interacts with each other, the game, the entire game will look different by changing basically one script, one page worth of code.
And here's the thing, too. You don't need a whole new engine to be good on the new consoles. As we already know on PC, Destiny is instantaneous. It opens immediately. You can get to the menus right away if you have a solid state. The engine doesn't really need to be changed unless, we're, I guess, we're talking about, well, maybe the point of the inventory and our, you know, our vaults can only go so large, and maybe the claim is the engine needs to be changed to allow more there. That's maybe what some people want.
I would really love for them. I've always been the type of person that liked watching the behind the scenes stuff for like Disney parks when I was a kid, and we've talked about this Kingsley before. And so to, you know, game development and like the old G4 shows, like I can't remember any of the names now. Playmakers. Mm-hmm. Where it really gets into the history of companies and their development cycles and the way they approach things. To run into something like, hey, we just came out with this really cool new dungeon that everyone loves and is super aesthetically interesting. And we changed one line of code, and now we can't use that dungeon in the next DLC. I'm curious to see if they approach things like that. Like the, well, this is just daily life and programming. I'm interested in that side of stuff. I don't know. I like the Mandalorian behind the scenes series that they put out. I love that stuff. So to get more of that out of Bungie is awesome. And I will always be about that and learning new things on their process.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd. I'm sorry.
Well, in a slightly related topic, I get it. I'm super excited, but I'm also a little bit worried about when Vault of Glass comes back out that the nostalgia won't be there. It won't feel the same because it'll look too good, if that makes sense. You know, the same thing happened to me with the moon. For some reason, when I played the moon on Destiny 1, it was like so cool. And then I see it in Destiny 2, I'm like, it just doesn't look quite the same to me. And I don't know if that's because of the shades. There's a lot of those red that they added into the moon, or just the fidelity is a lot higher now. I don't know what it is, but I still enjoy the moon a lot, but it just didn't hit me the same way it did in D1.
Yeah, I mean, you always run into that with re-releasing content. Not to just keep going back to Blizzard, but, you know, World of Warcraft did that a few times. And actually, the same way that Vault of Glass is doing it as something they did 10 years ago now, a little bit more than, with Naxxramas, the Necropolis raid from the original game. They brought it back in Wrath of the Lich King with, you know, some new lore changes. So some of the bosses were different. Some of the fights worked a little bit differently. There's definitely an aesthetic upgrade. All the graphics got upgraded. And they relaunched the same raid because only, I think, 2% of the active population had actually even seen the inside of it originally. And they're like, wow, we did this amazing thing that no one got to see. And I think they're kind of doing that with Vault of Glass with, you know, people that are maybe PC exclusive players or just weren't around for Destiny 2. Able to kind of give it new life and show it to people like me who weren't around the first time. So I'm really excited about that. Unless it's all champions, in which case I just won't be participating.
Oh, yeah. Please, not too many crazy champions. Yeah, well, we've had that discussion before for sure. Just do the... Okay, we don't want just champions. Just do like the three raid modes that we've already had in D1 forever. Normal, quote, easy, and then like a harder mode, and then like a prestige mode. And just do that. Don't have like, oh, here's your one raid and you just added a bunch of champions in it to make it different.
Imagine the prestige is that. So it's match set with champions, but match set with elements too.
Yeah, well, traditionally prestige in D1 just meant you have no revive tokens. So if someone dies, you have to finish the encounter with a man or two or three down, which you can still do sometimes. So I hope they just do that again, is like a prestige quote mode, is no revive tokens. And then maybe the normal mode, I've said this a million times, just to get people into raiding to learn it, like a quote easy mode. Don't worry about tokens. You can have unlimited revives just to get, you know, the basics down. And then the middle mode can be like our current token system.
Didn't they try that with the guided raid system that didn't work out so hot though?
I don't remember, but in D1, that's how it is on the normal modes, is you can unlimited revive, and everyone loved it. It was just easy to learn the raids. Right, Sin? The normal modes, you can just unlimited revive, right? On in D1?
Yes. Yeah. They were super easy to get through.
Yeah.
See, I don't. Okay. This is where my sweaty neck beard is going to come out. I think that Raid should be kept gatekept a little bit. Should be a prestige end game activity. You know, you got to earn your raids. You don't just get to go in casually. You know, that's it. I don't know.
Okay, but Sin's overplaying it a little bit. They're easy, yeah, now at the end, but they were still, even with the unlimited revives when they first came out, it was still Sweat City where, yes, you could be reviving everyone, but you would just get in a revive circle where the ads are just hitting you really hard and you're still not going to get the mechanics done in time. They were still wipe things if you weren't going fast enough. So they were still some work when they first came out.
That's kind of the old mentality of bosses and MMOs and RPGs in general, where it's like the gear check kind of boss mechanic, where it's just like, we're going to make this as brutal as possible on you because you just need stats to win this. And that's just, it's such an antique way of raiding, and I think Destiny has done a great job of getting away from that and really making kind of puzzle solving and teamwork far more important than just individual DPS or, you know, gear. It's about understanding how it works and doing the puzzle, you know, with six different people, which is super cool. And I don't think we give that enough credit. That's something very unique to Destiny and that their end game mechanic, where it's definitely more cooperative than a 10 or God forbid a 25 man raid in WoW, where it's just like, yep, I'm healing these five people, and if they die, I'm going to get yelled at, or if my DPS isn't in the top five, or if I die by standing in the fire. It's so much more in Destiny. And I think that kind of brings the community together too. Because, you know, raiding becomes a lot more personal and a lot less, I don't want to say structured. That's not the word I'm looking for, but a lot less rigid in how you complete it.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, King's Fall was starting to get that way in D1, but really it hit that way, right? Same with Wrath of the Machine, where everyone kind of did have to hold their own weight and do their part. There was more, quote, puzzles per se. And that's why, again, it'll be interesting if they bring Vault of Glass back as is, even if they add champions, there's still a lot of potential. I mean, Vault of Glass, you could have like two people that knew what they were doing and the rest could just be, we'll be in the corner, not doing anything pretty much. And it was still super easy, so that's I'm a little bit worried about too. But we'll see. We'll see how it all turns out.
Yeah, my ultimate goal is for them. Again, I haven't done the original, so anything's good for me. I'm excited to get into it. But to do, I think Divinity, I think was a step in the right direction. I think that having that instead of just having prestige or just having quests linked to a raid, having that sort of, as much as I hate the Divinity puzzles now, just because we've done them so many times. I think it's a really cool idea to have that kind of earned item that, again, going back to my MMO experience, that legendary where it's like, all right, you have to have a little bit of luck to get the thing started, and then it becomes this monumental grind or this series of puzzles or hidden, you know, things like Outbreak or we were talking about Whisper earlier. I love it when they do stuff like that. So to do that with Vault of Glass and maybe like, hey, here's a doorway from Vault of Glass that wouldn't open in the original raid, but now there's this corridor you can go down and do this new thing.
Oh, I bet they'll do. I love that idea, and I bet they'll add something to it. It'll be.
I think that's Bungie's strong suit, and like the ARG aspect of stuff. So like maybe we have to unlock Vault of Glass by doing a community event that's not just Seraph Towers or whatever. Shoot things, put balls in hole. Event like some sort of, you know, kind of what they did with the Saint 14 stuff with the Infinite Forest, and really make us earn Vault of Glass or earn that exotic as a community. I think is the way to do it because the engagement, especially, I mean, Bastion kind of they announced it, so it kind of ruined some of it. But I think that 5 or 6 days where everyone was just slamming their head against a wall together was awesome just to watch, you know, the Reddit feeds and stuff like that or the streamers. I don't know, man. I think that's Bungie's strong suit, and they really should lean into that as much as they can.
They should, and hopefully more of these, quote, live events will come at a better click than what we saw with the, you know, the Almighty.
Yes.
That. You know, that whole thing, which was cool enough for their first try, but if they can add upon that, have some live event, some ARG event with bringing Vault of Glass back, that would be amazing. Please do that.
Yeah, I mean, even though it took forever, and I was at work when that happened, I do wish that would have went a little quicker. But I do think them doing it was a step in the right direction. It was actually pretty cool.
It was way cool.
When I liked the YouTube videos.
Oh, it really was. Yeah, it's. I feel sad for anyone who wasn't able to see it in person. It was really quite amazing.
Well, yeah,
once it finally started happening.
I mean, again, leaning into the structures, I was actually talking about this last night when we were rating. I think one of Bungie's greatest design assets as a company for Destiny is their ability to craft absolutely just breathtaking skyboxes. And to be able to do something like the Almighty event in the skybox and really make you feel like you're part of this world. Especially, you know, I'm actually standing next to Zavala right now overlooking the last city, and we don't do it enough. Like, we don't pay attention to these things that they're putting in the background until there's a giant pyramid ship there. And yeah. They're able to completely change how these worlds feel just by changing that skybox. And I love that. I don't know. Like, more stuff like that would be great. More terraforming, more of these cataclysmic events that are just changing Destiny as we know it, but in a way that's meaningful and substantial.
I think it's coming. You're totally right on the with this season and the pyramid ships. It's one thing just even how amazing they are in the background, but they've also livened it up with, especially on Io, all the little pyramid ships.
Little patrol ships,
around.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is totally a different feel now in Io because of that going on.
And I think a lot of it's just us not paying attention, like how when you land at the tower, you can, you know, you go back and look at whoever's arriving ship. And it's your ship when you first land. Like, it's a very, everything feels very lived in and very just active all the time. And a lot of games struggle with that. But they don't. Bungie knows how to do it somehow better than most. And these live events are even more part of that. And like, there's still a hole in the tower that you can jump down where a part of the Almighty hit, like, and you just remember that there are these battle wounds throughout the map. And, you know, I'm sure if these planets that are being taken out by the pyramid ships come back at any point, we're going to see those effects and see how, you know, like the hive infestation spreading on the moon when they brought the moon back. I don't know. It's one of the most lived in worlds, I think, of any game of its type. And I really want to see them do more with that and Beyond Light and the upcoming, you know, experience.
Yeah. And that's why it makes sense to not have a quote, totally new game where everything gets erased, because I think they're at a point now too where they can actually change things better and have these live events where we can have this consistent, whether you call it an online universe, which we're not quite calling it or getting at, but still a universe where it can dramatically at least change once a year and even have small changes within each season. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, the Seraph Towers are still up on Io and Nessus. Like, if you look, like, all of the stuff from the last season, yeah, they're still very much deployed and ready to go. So, you know, those meaningful changes are still around. Yeah, more of that, Bungie. If anyone from Bungie listens to this podcast, just more lore, more nerdy stuff to make us go, ooh, that's really pretty or that's really cool. And remember events like that.
Well, we have at least a something redacted coming before November 10th or November 20th. I forget the date now.
November 10th.
You know, they said increased valor, increased this, increased that, and then increased redacted. So that'll be interesting to see what that means.
Altered element, please. Get rid of these engrams.
Increased grenades.
I feel like that's unfairly skewed towards warlocks. I don't really appreciate that logic.
I like it.
You just fly around forever.
Just do an increase like a daybreak modifier we had in D1 on for the strikes and everything. We loved that. That was a lot of fun. That was where everything was buffed. So give us our supers back how they were about a year ago when we could get Nova Bomb every like 30 seconds with Skull of Dire Hamkara.
Oh, that was me with Aphidia Spade and Fan of Knives when that build was still viable. That was so much fun for like sundials and the like. And
30 seconds was the slow one. If everyone else was dropping orbs, it was an instantaneous.
It was instant. I was just I was just constantly blasting out knives, like literally constantly. It became my primary attack was just using my melee button and throwing knives at stuff. I don't know if that's good for gameplay, but I had fun.
Not for the long run, but come on. At the end of a season, especially if this is getting extended, it would be a fun thing to add in.
Oh, just make the game. Make everything. Just give everyone the cannons from Jeez, what's the rotator called?
I know what you mean.
Scorched? I
mean, scorched, yeah.
Just make that an item we can get.
Yeah. We used it in the Wrath raid.
Yeah. I still think there's another hidden exotic. I still think they got something up their sleeve that isn't Traveler's Chosen.
Yeah. And that's... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of spoiler, kind of not. We don't know how it's coming or when or whatever, but...
Yeah, no, I really wanted that whole... I heard it from what they've gotten without getting too spoilery. It's a very long quest chain, so you really got to earn it. But I feel like they're going to be... There's going to be something. Something like when Devil's Ruin came out, and everyone's just like, oh, what's this? Oh, suddenly new exotic.
Right, maybe we get to hear back for Sin.
Yeah, maybe we get to hear Shaxx sing again. Who knows?
We will see. We will see. Hopefully. All right. I think that kind of wraps it up for tonight. Great discussion.
Tell a friend.
Yep. Hey, one thing I did want to mention, you know, I don't want to mention this too much because we really don't mind one way or the other. We will always be a 100% free community in Discord, but we do have a Patreon if anyone wants to join up and donate a few dollars. I mean, we have a lot of things that, you know, podcast hosting, some of these bots that do things. I like the enhanced services, and so it's kind of fun to pay, throw a couple dollars and get like a better version of the bot. So anyone who wants to join the Patreon, we appreciate it, but we appreciate everyone no matter what. So no worries on that.
Buy war bonds.
If you want to join the Patreon, you can find that link in our Frequently Getting Started, Frequently Asked Questions channel. Other than that, let's just close this up tonight. We can start with Nolzy. Do you want to give any contact information, how people can...
Yeah, for the most part,
your name
Nolzy
is confusing.
My name on Steam changes very frequently. It's currently Vince McMahon's Golden Shovel. If you pay attention to professional wrestling at all, you know what that means. I change very frequently, but it's at Nolzy on Twitch, at Nolzy Plays on Twitter, or Twitch, or not Twitch. At Nolzy Plays on Twitch and at Nolzy on Twitter, where I don't post anything but my stream because I have nothing important to say.
Okay, man. Good enough.
Sin, give your deets.
Oh man, my deets. I'm 5'7". Don't worry. you can find me over on twitch.tv/sinmedia. Sin is CYN, and over on Twitter at sin_media. Kingsley, take us out.
Yes, you can find me as only one Kingsley Mac now in the clan. I got rid of my inactive character. Hey, we are getting close. We're about 93, so if people want to join, tell them now's the time before we have to be a little more, even more picky. We'll make it work. But
applications.
The applications. Yes. Sin will. You have to mail them to Sin, snail mail, and he will review every single one.
That's a no for me, dog.
I don't even think we need to snail mail it. Just put Sin in charge, and they just won't get done.
Pretty much.
There you go. Oh, but yeah, we still have some spots, and we'll figure it out if we just need to do another one or not. But we won't worry about that yet. We appreciate everyone who is in the Discord. Great group of people. We really appreciate everyone joining that and giving us your experiences and suggestions and ideas.
And I'm going to be firing my wife this weekend for being on the cricket while I'm recording.
We didn't really hear it too much.
You know, she said a minute, and it was really, it was a little over a minute. It wasn't bad.
That was before, but she's been using the heat press on and off the entire time, and it's creaking up, creaking down, it's beeping.
Ugh, hey,
crazy life.
Being an entrepreneur is tricky.
I will not tell her that part. I'm not going to tell her good things. She walked away. She didn't hear any of that.
Okay.
Couldn't you theoretically put it in a different room?
You would think, but she's not moving it. I would have
to. Well, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyways, you can just find me as Kingsley Mac all the places, except for on Twitter. I'm MC Kingsley.
McKingsley.
Yep. And you already know about our podcast, but check out our website if you haven't, theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We know there are many hubs you can visit, so thanks for joining ours. Have a good week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Best hub on the net.
I spent all of that 30 minutes making that Twitter header, and you never used it, Sid.
Well, you said not to. You don't want people knowing that you made it.
When did I say that? What part of my personality has ever told you I'm embarrassed about anything?
Plus, I don't have access to our Twitter.
Ooh, so it's Kingsley's fault. Yeah.
I don't even know what you could. I wasn't in the loop.
Oh, wait, you didn't see? Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Did we show him?
I'm pretty sure.
You have to have seen it. I think I posted it to the Discord.
Oh, you probably did. Sorry if I don't remember then.
The best hub on the net header for Twitter.
Oh.
That was commissioned by Sin for $0.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not going to be adding that.
I gotta get past all of the combo picks, because I think it's somewhere in my DMs.
So, Kingsley probably doesn't know about that. Me and Sin have this long running. No, I know you know that Sin eats them, but every time we find like a new type of combo or just purchase combos in general,
gotcha.
We've been sending pictures back and forth. And I don't know how it started, but there's got to be at least a dozen to two dozen combo pictures in our private Discord chat.
Combo buddies.
There you go, Kingsley.
Sin, we need to make a snack podcast.
Snacks.
Snacks.
I was going to say, not another channel. We do have a food channel.
Oh my god, we can totally get sponsored by G Fuel, too. Oh, we got this in the bag.
Yeah,
get it? Get it? It's the tagline.